Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to you all to Carey Baptist Church this beautiful spring morning. And a special welcome to David Ronco, who is taking our service today, so we thank him very much for standing in and look forward to his sermon. I'm just going to continue now with the notices. A reminder that the Wednesday coffee morning on Zoom resumes this Wednesday, the 27th. Also, the baby and toddler group starts again this Friday, the 29th. The church is taking a stall at the Armed Forces Day, which is the 25th of June in Gadebridge Park. Please pick up a newsletter. They're on the tables, front and side, and you will see what our plans are. I won't go through it all now, but I will remind you nearer the time what the plans are for that day. Please give all your used stamps for the BMS to Janice Breckel by the end of April, which is by next week. And they will be taken to the stamp dealer. Now, Janice has done this for many years. Thank you for that, Janice. But she asks kindly if anyone might consider taking this job over. It's just a matter of collecting the stamps and taking them to the stamp dealer. If you think you can do this job, please speak to Janice after the service. Janice is there at the back. We extend our congratulations to our very own Chimindra, who isn't actually here today. What a shame. He has become a full member of the Hearts Fellowship of Baptist Preachers. So he joins John Neal as they both preach the good news of Jesus across Hertfordshire. So I hope they're not away from our church too often because we want to see them here. The flowers today are in memory of Peggy Samworth, and they've been given by her daughter Janice and son-in-law David. There will be refreshments after the service. Thank you. Over to you, David.
It's good to be with you again on this lovely spring morning. And I wish you happy Easter. No, I'm not a week too late because we're still living in Easter, aren't we? Every Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we live in the fallout of the reality of that first Easter and all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And we are an Easter people. So we begin our worship by reading together some words on the screen that come from the New Testament that remind us of the hope we have in Jesus. Let's read together. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Our Easter faith is expressed in the statement, Jesus is Lord. So we sing that song, 384, the words will be on the screen. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. Praise him with alleluias, for Jesus is Lord. Let's stand and sing.
Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it, for by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe declares it, sun, moon and stars in heaven, right, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, yet from his throne eternal, in flesh he came to die in pain on Calvary's tree. Jesus is Lord, from him all life proceeding, yet gave his life a ransom, thus setting us free. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, O sin, the mighty conqueror. From death he rose, and all his foes shall own his name. Jesus is Lord, God sends his Holy Spirit to show by works of power that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord.
Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for that great statement of Easter faith. Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord of life. He is the Lord over death. And we just want to just praise and worship him this morning. We bring our praise as your people together, an Easter people. We thank you that we can continue to live in the light of that first Easter event. And we remember with gratitude how you gave Jesus Christ, your Son, to live and serve here on earth, to give his life in sacrifice upon the cross, and then by your mighty power you raised him from death, and then weeks later you poured out your Spirit into the world and into the hearts of your people, so that we might know the full reality of Easter all the time. And so we rejoice on this glorious spring morning. We thank you for the wonder of creation that proclaims your love and your power. We thank you that we can gather again as your people to worship you and to look at the beginning of this week, the first day of the week, to look ahead to the future and pray that you will bless us by your presence. We know that you are with us always. You promise to be with us by your Spirit. Forgive us for taking that promise for granted. Help us to know that wherever we've got to walk this week, whatever journey lies ahead of us, whatever challenges, whatever difficulties, your Spirit is there to be our strength, our comforter, our help, to bring the presence of Jesus alongside us. And just as those two disciples walked along the Emmaus Road, we can know the presence of the Lord coming alongside us to be our help, to be our inspiration, to be our strength and stay. We come, though, confessing our sins before you this morning. Forgive us for the things we've done wrong. Forgive us for the things that we should have done and have failed to do, failed to reach out in love and concern, failed to speak up for honesty and truth, failed to act compassionately. Father, forgive us for our sins. And Lord, if there's anything wrong in our lives this morning, help us to be aware of it and to know that we can bring it before you and acknowledge it in the open, and know that you will forgive us our sins because of what Jesus has done for us. We claim your promise that if we confess our sins, you are a faithful God, and you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wrongdoing. Thank you for that promise. And if any of us are carrying a burden of guilt this morning, help us to know that we can be released from it by your grace and your mercy. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. We thank you for all you've given us, all the blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ, our living Lord. And we come now as your people to bring you our prayers of praise and confession in his precious name. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, I brought with me this morning my rucksack, but it's rather heavy. And I wonder if there's anybody who's feeling quite strong this morning that would like to carry it for me. You want to carry it? Okay, come up the front then. It's quite heavy, I'm warning you. No. Hope you haven't got a bad back.
No.
Okay, would you like to put it on your back? Just take a walk around the church, go out into the foyer and come back in again and come up the front, okay? She's a brave volunteer, isn't she? Right, how's that felt? How would you like to carry it all day, though?
No,
go on a long walk to work or go a long walk shopping?
No,
okay. Well, thank you very much.
Is it full of Bibles?
No. Do you know what? Have a look. See what it's full of. Okay.
Wow.
With bricks, okay. I was going to put three in, but my wife said that might break the rucksack. Now, why have I got you to do that? Well, because we're going to listen later on and explore together a story from the New Testament, which took place after Easter, where one man called Peter, a disciple of Jesus, wasn't carrying a heavy bag like that, but he was carrying something very heavy inside of him. He was feeling very bad about himself because before Jesus died on the cross, Jesus had said, "Disciples, you're going to desert me. I'm just telling you that's going to happen." "No," says Peter. "The others will. I won't. I'll be there, Lord. I'll stand by you." But you know what happened, don't you? He went and followed Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, and there he denied Jesus three times. And he felt so bad about that. He felt mad with himself too. "I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have spoken up so..." And then he felt sad as well. Felt sad that he let Jesus down. So he was carrying a very heavy weight inside of him, feeling guilty, feeling bad about himself, feeling sad, feeling mad, all sorts of feelings inside. And then the story we're going to read today took place after Easter. Jesus meets him and a few others at the seashore in Galilee. And Jesus talks with Peter, has this conversation. And through that conversation, he helps Peter let go of that heavy burden that was inside him. He felt, "I couldn't go on. It's so heavy, I just feel I've failed, I've messed up so bad." But Jesus gave him a new chance, forgave him, and said, "Go on, you can walk free now and serve me as I want you to." So it's a wonderful story to remind us that we do, people carry lots of heavy burdens inside them. But the message is that we can know that Jesus does forgive us and give us his grace to lift those burdens. I want to show you a picture on the screen now, because that backpack, has that been up there all the time? No, it's just gone up. Okay. Pardon? Okay. This is a very old book called Pilgrim's Progress, and I read it when I was very young, and I was told this story, and the main character is a guy called Christian, and he's on a journey, a pilgrimage. And he's going through all sorts of experiences. And it's a way of describing all the ups and downs of following Jesus. And in one part of the story, he's carrying this very heavy rucksack, this very heavy backpack. And as he gets up the hill, can you see the cross there? As he gets up to the cross, suddenly it goes from him. And it rolls down. You perhaps can't see it on the bottom left-hand corner there. There's a hole, a kind of an empty tomb area. It goes into there. And it's forgotten. So it's a lovely story, isn't it? It reminds us that because of what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross to forgive our sins, we can know his help. We don't need to carry those heavy burdens of guilt or sadness or feeling bad about ourselves, because we can know what it is to walk free in the light of God's love. So we're going to sing that song, Walk. We're marching in the light of God. A lovely song, the words on the screen, we'll get the feeling, okay, of just enjoying the freedom that is ours because of what God, we're marching in the light of God, we're living in the love of God, and we're moving in the power of God. Let's stand.
We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching, marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are living in the love 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 of God. We are living, living, living. Oh, we are living in the love of God. We are living, living, living. Oh, we are living in the love of God. We are moving in the power 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 of God. Moving, moving, moving. Oh, we are moving, power of God. Moving, moving, moving. Oh, we are moving in the power of God.
Can we now bring the offering forward, please? Thank you very much. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you because of what Jesus has done. We can now walk in the light of your love. We can live and move in the power of your Holy Spirit. We can be set free from those things that weigh us down. And we just thank you that we can bring our burdens to you and lay them at the cross and know that burdens are lifted at Calvary. So in response to all that you've done for us, we give you our thanks now. And we give you our gifts here and the ones we've given in other ways and ask that you will use them to bless others through the ministry of this church and wider afield. Amen. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. Thank you. Anybody going out? Any young people going out? Okay, we'll see you later. And Dave is going to come and read to us from the scripture.
Our reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 21, starting to read at verse 15, and is on page 1090 on the Church Bible. It is called Jesus Reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. May the Lord bless this reading to us.
We'll think more about that story in a moment, but first we sing an Easter hymn. "I know that my Redeemer lives, what joy that blessed assurance gives." Let's stand. "I know that my Redeemer lives, what joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives, my hungry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of need. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives, my mansion to prepare. He lives to lead me safely there. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Savior, still the same. What joy this blessed assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives."
Here's a quote from a Christian writer called Rita Snowden. "Forgiveness is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him." How true that was for the Apostle Peter. He disgraced the Lord through denying him three times. And now in this lovely story that we've read, this post-Easter story, Peter discovers the amazing forgiveness of the Lord. He's trusted again. Can you see the statue on the left-hand side there? That's a statue that's been made of this story of Jesus blessing Peter. And you'll find it at this place in Galilee, on the northern shore of Galilee, not far from Capernaum. It's my favorite place in Israel. And in 3 weeks' time, I shall be there on that beach with another group of people helping them to explore this story. And we'll be sitting, can you see on the far right, you may not be able to see it, but there are some steps. We'll be sitting there and we'll be having a simple meal of pita bread together. And then we'll look at this story. And as we sit on those stones on the shore of Galilee, that's roughly where this incident took place. We don't know exactly, but they put that church there called St. Peter's Primacy. It's a very simple church, but it's a lovely place to remember this incident that took place in reality on the shores of Galilee nearly 2,000 years ago, just a couple of weeks after that first Easter. So let's think about that story. It began with the disciples, five of them, thinking, oh, let's go fishing. We've got to do something. We can't just hang around and just wait to see what happens. So they went fishing, but nothing happened. It was a wasted night. They toiled all night and they caught no fish. And then they saw this stranger on the shore who shouted to them and asked them, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. He said, well, look on the other side. And they did. And then they saw this shoal of fish and they caught this miracle catch of fish. And it was at that point that they realized it was Jesus on the shore. It was the living Lord. He'd appeared to them in the upper room. Now he was appearing to them in their workplace, in their home place. They'd all come from Capernaum, from that area. And so the others drag the boat in with the heavy nets of fish. But Peter throws off his outer garments and just jumps in and swims and wades to the shore to meet the Lord. And then when they're all there together, they discover that Jesus had prepared a barbecue for them on the beach. He'd grilled some fish and they had a meal together. He knew they'd be hungry, and that's something he did for them. And then he spoke with them. And after that, he then took Peter to one side. I mean, you can see the other disciples, can you, in this picture, just in earshot. I think Jesus was giving a little bit of privacy to the conversation, but I think he wanted the other disciples to hear what was going on and for Peter to be able to say it in front of the disciples. He'd publicly denied Jesus, now he'd publicly reaffirm his faith. But Jesus gives him that bit of privacy and he takes him to one side and has this very painful and awkward conversation where he challenges him about his love. Jesus doesn't do it to embarrass Peter. He wants to bring Peter to a point where he can let go of all that bad feeling he had about himself, all that sadness and regret that he carried, all that sense of guilt. He wants to get him to offload that. But he can't just do it without Peter going through the process of healing and recognizing what had gone wrong. So through this painful conversation, Jesus offers Peter two things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, Jesus restores Peter. We've already said, can you imagine how Peter felt? Somebody put it like this. He was a fisherman, and it was a bit like there was a whole lot of water washing around in the bottom of the boat. The boat was leaking, and it's about to capsize, and Peter just felt all that guilt was washing around in his life. It was threatening to overwhelm him. Could he ever face the future? He'd blown it so badly. He'd messed up so terribly. Could he ever, ever be trusted and serve again? So that's how he was feeling. But Jesus wants to give him the assurance, yes, you can be. You can be trusted again. But notice how Jesus sets the scene for this kind of healing process. There's a meal that's just taken place. And it was at a meal in the upper room where Jesus had said to the disciples, you're going to desert me when the shepherd is struck down. No, says Peter. That's where he'd boasted, wasn't it? At the meal. So maybe this meal was bringing back that reminder. The last meal they shared with Jesus was when he'd actually made those foolhardy promises in his own strength. No, Lord, I'll never do it. And there's a fire. What did that remind Peter of? It reminded him of that fire in the courtyard, in the high priest's house, where he was warming himself and trying to be incognito, thinking that nobody would notice him and recognize him. But they do. And they say, surely you were one of the Galileans. I can recognize by your dialect. You can't kid me. You're up north. I know that. You're speaking with a northern accent. It's obvious you're one of his. And Peter, no, I never knew the man. And three times it happened that he denied Jesus. In that when the fire was there, a reminder of that. And then it's interesting, Jesus calls him Simon. That was his original name. But do you remember when he first called him, he said, "You're Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter from now on. Because you're going to be Petros, you're going to be a rock, you're going to be a very strong character in my mission." Jesus drops the Peter, he just calls him Simon. Is that to emphasize his humanity, to realize that he's just flawed like every other disciple? He's not stronger than any of the others. Why did he think he was? And then, of course, three times he asked the question. Three times he'd been denied. He denied Jesus. Three times Jesus gave him the opportunity to reaffirm his love. Jesus isn't rubbing salt into the wound of Peter's guilt. He's not trying to embarrass him. What he's trying to do is to bring to the surface all that horrible guilt and madness and badness and sadness that Peter felt in order for it to be healed. And you know that, don't you? Those of you who've ever gone for counseling, where you've had to have deep counseling about something that's gone wrong in your life, where you've kept it hidden for so long and you felt bad about yourself and so on, the counselor has patiently helped you to face up to what you'd gone through. And as you faced your disappointments, you faced your anger, faced your shame, whatever it may have been, so you were able to find healing through that. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's bringing it all to the surface so that Peter might be fully healed. There's a kind of attitude today, just say you're sorry and move on. That doesn't deal with the issues of human guilt, does it? Or of human disappointment or anger. It has to be recognized in order to be fully healed and forgiven, covered by God's grace. Jesus says, "Do you love me, Simon, more than these others?" I guess he's talking about the other disciples, isn't he? I mean, that's what Peter said. "Lord, the others will let you down, not me. You can count on me, I'll be there." Peter, do you love me more than these others? He's reminding him of that boast. Jesus knows the answer, doesn't he? He knows what Peter's going to say. But he presses it because he wants Peter to affirm it publicly as a way of finding healing and restoration. So the Lord gives Peter a full opportunity to renew his love. And I believe the Lord gives us opportunities too. Life tests us and challenges us, but there come moments in our life when it's good just to renew that and reaffirm that love for the Lord, just to remind ourselves of how much we owe the Lord and how much we need him. A song we always sing when we sit on that shore, and I'll be singing that in 3 weeks' time. As we read this story, we then sing this song. And perhaps you'd like to sing it with me now, because it's a lovely little song. We'll sing it through twice, unaccompanied. "I love you, Lord." It's a way of saying, "Yes, Lord, I've been serving you maybe for a long time, but I just need to say again, I love you. And I want to renew that faith in you, my living Lord and Savior." Do you know it? Well, you'll know it by the time I've sung it with you, okay? "I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear." And again, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear." It's good to sing something like that, isn't it? Just to remind ourselves, Lord, thank you for your love, and we want to reaffirm our love for you. That's what we do every Sunday, isn't it, when we come and worship together, how important that is. So Jesus restores Peter. And I wonder if there's somebody here that feels in need of restoration this morning. Maybe you're feeling that a sense of guilt about something. Maybe you're holding on to a sense of anger about something that's happened to you in life. Maybe you're feeling deeply sad about something. Maybe you're feeling very resentful or disappointed. I don't know. All sorts of heavy things can be in our hearts and minds. I want you to know that the Lord in his grace says, I want to release you from that. Let's face up to what it is that's causing that. Let's be honest about it, and let's find the forgiveness and grace that you need. And sometimes, you know, when things are very deeply buried and been hidden for a long time, and when resentment and grief has been held for so long, or bitterness, it doesn't just come out overnight. It maybe needs you to talk with someone you trust, to ask to talk with your pastor, Colin, to talk with a trusted friend and say, can I just share with you something? Will you pray with me? Someone you can trust to share what's on your heart. And through that, the Lord can minister to you the grace and healing and restoration that you need at this moment. So Jesus restores Peter. And then secondly, Jesus recommissions Peter. Jesus had earlier promised Peter, you are the rock, Peter, and on this rock of your faith, I'm going to build my church. You're the kind of leader I want, and your faith in me is the kind I want, and I want to use that to build my church. You're going to be a key leader in my church, Peter, says Jesus. That was months earlier on. But now, can you imagine how Peter felt? I've blown it. Yes, the Lord can forgive me, but can he ever use me again? Can he ever use me as a leader in the church? Surely I forfeited my chance to be a leader and to serve the Lord in this way. Yes, says Jesus, you can. I want to trust you again. And I give you this commission. Feed my sheep. Be a shepherd. Be a leader to the people of God. Be what I wanted you to be. Be what I called you to be. Believe that I am now trusting you, and I'm putting my hope and faith in you, and know that with my strength, you will do what I'm asking you to do. And it's very interesting when you read Peter's letter written 30 years later in the New Testament to a group of young Christians. He picks this theme up and says to the leaders, as shepherds of the flock, look to the chief shepherd to do your work. And Peter had carried that commission throughout his life, but he's given it here just a few weeks after Easter. Yes, Peter, you can be that shepherd. You can serve me again. You can be a leader. I'm in the business of using flawed people, people who fail. Don't disqualify yourself because of that. Jesus believed in him and put his trust in him again. And it may be that some of you are here standing today, as it were, in your Christian faith because someone did that to you. Maybe a friend, a partner, a church pastor, a church leader. You'd mess things up, but he said, come on, I want to give you this opportunity to serve again. And you're very thankful for that person who put their trust in you when others perhaps, and you didn't even trust yourself because you'd messed up. When we do things wrong, and when we play ourselves down, which most of the time people do, we need others to believe in us. And we need the Lord to believe in us, know that he believes in us and says, you are special to me and I can use you. But you know, it's not always easy. And Peter is reminded here that being the shepherd of the sheep was going to be a sacrificial role. And Peter reminds him in verses 18 and 19. I'm telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will bind you and take you where you don't want to go. In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Jesus is saying, Peter, it's not going to be an easy task I'm giving you, but I'm giving you my confidence and I call you to feed my sheep. And then he says, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow, as it were, in my footsteps. As you see those footsteps in the sand or footsteps in the mud, you can just follow where the person has been. You've seen the path I've taken. You've seen the way I've shown you how to live. I want you to follow me now in my footsteps. I think what Jesus was doing here was taking Peter back to an incident you can read about in Luke chapter 5. 3 years previously, on the same shore, maybe not that same spot, but certainly not far, Capernaum's just around the corner from that spot I showed you earlier on. The place where Peter did all his fishing, that's where he had his business. And it was there that Peter hears Jesus preaching in his boat. He lends him his boat as a kind of a floating pulpit because of all the crowds. And then he says to Peter and to Andrew and to James and John, follow me. Follow me. I want to make you fishers of men and women, boys and girls. I want to make you fishers of people. I want to change your vocation. I want you to follow me and join me in my mission. And so I think what Jesus is now doing is taking Peter right back to the beginning, isn't it? Right back to basics. And sometimes we need that in our Christian journey, don't we? To go back to the promises we made in baptism, the promises we made in our younger days of faith, when we first said, Lord, I want to follow you. Keep coming back, we get sidetracked. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to follow Jesus and to follow in his footsteps. So he then repeats it, because Peter then looks around at the others and says, what about them? What about John? What's going to happen to him? Jesus said, look, don't compare yourself to him. Don't worry yourself what's going to happen to you. Just you follow me. He repeats it again. Just follow me. You know, we spend half our time comparing ourselves, don't we, to other Christians. I'm not as good as he is or she is. If only I had her gifts or his gifts. The Lord says, stop looking at other people in that way. Just follow me. I'm trusting you. I want to use you as you are. I want to use your gifts that you've got. I want you to do what you can, not what you can't. How important is that message for some of you this morning, to believe that the Lord wants to use you and can use you? Maybe you've disqualified yourself and think, well, I'm no good. I'm not as good as he is or she is. Maybe I messed up before I made a mess. I can't possibly do that again. And so you play yourself down. The Lord says, follow me. Follow me. I can use you. Don't compare yourself to others. So what a wonderful story this is. Let's apply it to ourselves, as we've tried to do. It's a wonderful reminder of the Easter message, the message of transformation, the message of forgiveness, the message that God can release us from our guilt, can forgive us our sins, that God's in the business of taking flawed people, people who fail. We ought to write above the church sometimes as you come in the door, for failures only. If you think you've made it, what are you doing here? You don't need God, you've got yourself, as it were. But if you know that you've failed, you know that you're weak, and you know that you can't do it on your own, then that's the reason why you should be here, to receive the strength and grace that we need, like Peter, and to believe that failure and inadequacy should never bar us from service. We can be trusted again. You need to believe that message this morning, that the Lord can use you, even me, in the way that's special for you and for him. So let's take that Easter story and let's live with it and apply it to our hearts, and to rejoice in the forgiveness that is ours, and to rejoice in the blessing that God wants to use us in his service, to feel that restoration and to feel that recommissioning to follow him. Here's a very famous prayer from the 12th century by the Bishop of Chichester, St. Richard. Can you read those words? They're a bit small, are they? Oh, well, I'll read it. If you can read, sorry, perhaps you need your binoculars. It's a lovely prayer. Just look at it for a moment. I'll read it to you, then we can read it together. Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly day by day. You probably recognize the last bit, don't you? But it's a lovely prayer that puts it in its context. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Can we, in response, make this our prayer. So let's say it together. Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly day by day. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song now before we come to our intercessions. And I understand from Hilary, it's not one that you know that well, but Clifford's going to play it. I'm going to sing it. And it's a lovely song that just says, thank you for saving me. And what I love about this song is the last line of the chorus. You put your hope in me. Jesus placed his hope in Peter on that morning. And he puts his hope in you and me this morning. Isn't that wonderful to know that? So let's stand and sing.
Thank you for saving me. What can I say?
Now pray. We pray for the world, we pray for our own country, and we pray for our church and those especially in our fellowship who are in need at this time. Our God and Father, you gave your Son for the world, a world that has turned away from your way of love and way of peace. And we grieve over the brokenness in our world today. And we just bring our world to you, your world, and pray for peace and justice, for love and compassion. And we pray against evil that is in our world today, especially in the situation between Ukraine and Russia. And Lord, we continue to grieve and are horrified by all that we're watching unfold. And we just pray against this madness, pray against this evil, and pray for men of goodwill and women of goodwill to be able to speak sanity and peace into this troubled situation. We pray for the country of Afghanistan still suffering violence, that horrible bombing this week of that mosque. Lord, in a country where there's extremism, there's even more extremism that wants to resort to violence still. And a country that has suffered so much, we pray for that land. We pray especially that girls might be allowed to be educated. We pray for the flare-up of conflict in Israel-Palestine and the continuing tensions that are there. We pray for France as they make important decisions today. And we pray for the right person to be elected. Lord, for our world we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, for our country we pray, a land that has lost and forgotten the ways that you've taught us. And there are many things that we grieve about our land, there are many things we give thanks for. We have so much to be thankful for. We want to pray for those who lead us, we want to pray for our Queen as she prepares to celebrate the Platinum Jubilee. Keep her well and strong for those celebrations, we pray. And thank you for an example of faith in you and a practical example of service for you, for others. We pray for our government and all members of Parliament. And Lord, we just pray for a restoration of integrity and truthfulness in our Parliament. And we pray for a spirit of compassion and a concern for justice as governments have to make decisions about all those who are facing the cost of living crisis at the moment, for those who are going hungry, having to make choices between eating or heating, for those who are struggling to pay their bills, those who are getting more and more into debt. Lord, we thank you for many good things that are happening, food banks and debt advisory services. Lord, there is much goodness that is being demonstrated by people in our country today. But we want to pray for our government and for councillors locally, and countywide, that they might be wise and compassionate in the decisions they make. And for our own town, we pray too. We thank you for this town. We thank you for the spirit of cooperation between the churches. And we thank you for the facilities that we enjoy here compared to many other places in the world. And we pray for our town and its well-being, and for our part within the town to be witnesses for you by the way we work, by the way we live, by the way we show compassion, by the way we seek to follow Jesus and demonstrate his healing in our lives. So Lord, bless our town and us in it as citizens, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And for our church, we pray, Lord. We thank you for our fellowship together. We pray for our Pastor Colin and his wife as they enjoy a break from ministry. But we pray especially for those who are in need of our prayers at this time, thinking especially of Brian Jones and Pat Marlowe. But Lord, there are others that we want to lift up before you, not just members of this church, but members of our family, colleagues at work, neighbors, friends. Lord, we just see their face in our minds, and we hold that face up before you, and hold it in the light of your love, and pray that you will be to these people what they need at this time. And Lord, if there's any way we can be an answer to our prayers, make us channels of your peace. Give us courage to speak out, to make that phone call, to make that visit, to share your love with someone who needs it at this time. Make us channels of your peace and grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close our service this morning by singing the lovely Iona hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me? A reminder that Jesus called Peter and calls us to follow him. And we need to renew that call, don't we? Time and time again. Yes, Lord, I will follow you. Let's stand and sing. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoners free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside, never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you, never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow, you and you in me. Go now, redeemed in love, renewed in faith, restored in strength, and refreshed in spirit. Return to your journey of discipleship in the name of the risen Christ, who goes before you and calls you to follow him. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen.